This week is Parshas Lech Lecha, and with the Netziv's commentary, we're going to go through things that more or less interested me, I guess. And Lech Lecha, as you know, is filled with a lot of different topics, and so we're not going to be able to get to all of them, unfortunately. I mean, but hopefully we'll touch on everything at least a little bit. Okay, so the parsha begins by Yomar Hashem el Avraham. It's the blessing that's given to Abraham, or the instruction, I should say, that's given to Abraham, which it's both that you're going to go from the land, from your birthplace, from your father's house to the land that I'm going to show you. And there, pasuk beis, v'asachal gai gadol, I'm going to make you into a great nation. V'avarechecha, I'm going to bless you. V'agad b'lashemecha v'yibrocha, and I am going to make your name great, and you will become a blessing. And that blessing is even further enhanced in the next one, or that I'm going to bless those who bless you, and I'm going to curse those who curse you, and all the families of the earth are going to be blessed through you. Take a look at what the Netziv says on Pasuk Beis. He says, I'm going to make you into a great nation. But you know that when is Avram first told that he's going to have children? He's not really given that blessing until maybe first he sees it at the end of No. He sees it when you can actually take a quick look. It's at the end of Parakeet Gimel, I think, is the first time after Lot parts ways. Yeah, so he's told on page 60. And I'm going to give you the land that you can see. He blesses him that his children are going to be like the dust of the earth. And what the dust of the earth means is a topic which we're not really going to look at with the Netziv. It's, you know, it's a bigger discussion, but that's not for now. In any case, he's given that blessing. And of course, at the Brisbane, I'm sorry, right, at the covenant between the pieces, which is chapter 15, Avram is told, you know, Yadoa Teda Ki Geri Yazarcha, that your children will be strangers in a strange land for 400 years, which is something which we're all familiar with. But in any case, at this point in time, the Netziv says, he has not yet been told about the children he's going to have. So what does this mean, that I'm going to make you into a great nation? Ad Mamar Shiniva, until the second real encounter that he has with God, V'alzeh Bana Mizbeach. And on that, he built the Mizbeach. What does that mean? Okay, well, I don't know the really about that. Avokad, Evshalafarei, Sheyeh Avram, Legoi, Apisha, Yizkabzu, Elov, Anashim, Rabim. Now, what's going to become, what does it mean to become a nation? The same way that any country, for example, is a nation. What, you know, we call George Washington the father of the country. How many children did George Washington have? None, okay? I mean, his children were his wife's children from a previous marriage, but the bottom line is, he didn't have any children. Even if he had children, how many of the people in the country are his descendants? Right? Very few. But that's what it means to be the father of a nation. So Avram as well would be a father of a nation, because people are going to come to him. Right? In other words, it's a family of a faith. It's not a family of direct descendants. Okay, so that's an important idea, which I was intrigued by, because his point is that it's not a blessing of children yet. Veschalugai gadol does not mean that you're going to have many descendants. Next, v'agad ala shemecha, afilu misha lo yeh be'emunaso la'avod ha'shem yuchad. What does it mean? I'm going to make your name great, even with those who do not follow in the faith to serve the one God. Lo yeh kmo chari emunos shonos to kol das mevazel makish maktin emuna ashniya. This is an amazing. I mean, this is. I mean, the Netziv didn't live that long ago. I mean, he lived in the. I think he died in the 1900s. The Volozhin Yeshiva closed in 1893, I think. So, but I think he lived into the 1900s. In any case, so what's he saying? He's saying that, you know, every other faith basically mocks other faiths. Right? It's like, we're right, they're wrong. Right? That's the way it is. It's not going to be the way it is when it comes to the faith of Avram. Even those who don't want to follow his faith, okay, which however you want to define that, but we'll just define it as Judaism. They'll know that Avram's faith in God is impressive. But it requires a certain element of withdrawal, right? Holding back and things of that nature. And that's not for everybody. And when I was just in Israel...
What are we holding back?
In other words, we say, you know, there's taiva. I don't want taiva. Taiva's not for me.
Precious mitaiva, got
it. Right, okay. Precious mitaiva, v'chadumeh. Okay, so... You know, I mean, I was just in Yad Vashem last week, and one of the points that Nazi leadership emphasizes: who are the Jews to give us morality? Like, who do they think they are? Okay, in other words, meaning as much as it bothered them, as much as they hated Jews, it bothered them that the Jews were in their mind. You know what I mean? So that's what he's saying. Shelo called mitratzu l'kach. Not everybody. It doesn't work for everybody. Mimkein nisgad abuzeh shemo shel Avram shezachah le'emuna v'avodas el elyon. That Avram merited to this. Avram's name becomes great, right? Even today, right? How many people will say Abrahamic religions, right? Whether they like Judaism or don't like Judaism, and of course Judaism is a sticking point. And it's hard to say that, you know. I mean, in the West, maybe some people have a problem with Islam or whatever. I'm not going to judge religions. But the fact of the matter is, there are 2 billion Muslims in the world. So some people can have a problem with it, but it's a majority of it's a significant majority of the world population. Whereas, how many Jews are there in the world? And yet, when we talk about the Abrahamic religions,
Judaism
is pretty up there. So, and that's the point that the Nitziv is drawing out here. That's the unique blessing to Avraham, that in the faith that he shared with the world. It's not something which is mocked. And today, it's unbelievable to think how even in all the anti-Semitism that the world has seen and experienced, you know, you'd think most people, like Lahavdil, right? I mean, again, the Nazis are a weird case because, you know, I'll just give an example. There's another favorite target of the Nazis was after the Jews was, you know, what group that's actually a group. Okay, communists, fine.
Gypsies.
So most people say, you know what, gypsies, do your own thing. You know, you don't bother us, we don't bother you. Whatever, why? So that's the way it should be with the Jews. Like, why did the Jews bother anybody? It's just a tiny minority anywhere in the world. But the Nitziv is saying, Avram was significant, and if we call ourselves B'nai Avram, and we do, that's just the blessing that's given to Avram, that you're going to be significant even when you're small. And that's, of course, a theme which is brought out in another place in the Torah. Like, Lomi Rubachem, I don't think that you're so amazing because you're a great number. Ki'atem ha'ma'at, you're a tiny nation. And nevertheless, you're significant. Okay, the next point that I wanted to draw out is in Pasuk Vav, where Avraham makes a journey, which is going to be, it's a Maisa of a similar banim. Avraham is walking along the path of where his children are going to go one day later, some earlier, some later. And, one of the things, actually, it's the thing I just skipped. Es el miyam v'ha'im ikedem v'ayivan shem izbeach. Where is that? No, that's in Pasuk Ches, okay, where he goes to Beis El and he goes to Ai. Ai is where Yehoshua and company are going to be fighting a battle. But look what it says here. V'yavor Avram v'aretz ad mekom Shechem. He comes to the place which is Shechem. Now, I did not give you, but the Nitziv says there wasn't yet a city there. It was nothing.
So it was named for the future.
It's Mekom Shechem. No, who's writing the Torah? Moshe's writing the Torah. So Moshe's saying, Avram came to the place where Shechem would one day be. Remember in 1885 when Marty McFly goes past the place where his house is one day going to be, and there's nothing there, just the two lions, remember? So it's the same idea. That's a Back to the Future reference for those. Okay, anyway. So anyway, but the Pasuk says there, Avram goes, Ad Mekom Shechem, Adi Lomoreh, V'Yaknani Yozbaris. And the Yaknani Yozbaris is a strange language, but again, it's a very simple language when you imagine that who's writing this? Not Avraham.
Moshe
is writing it. V'Yaknani Yozbaris. So when Moshe is writing the thing, the Knani was already there. Right? At that time, they were already there. Okay, so what does that mean? Hayaholech V'Kobesh Eretz Yisrael is Rashi. I'm in the Nesiv again. Now this is fascinating. Okay. V'Yaknani Yozbaris. Okay, what's the Nitziv saying? That there are people there at the time who are Kanani, but there are plenty of people there who are not Kanani. But what's the role of the Kanani? The role of the Kanani is, ultimately, at least at some point in time, if not yet then within the coming years, they conquered the land. And therefore, the whole place is called Canaan. Teda Sharei Amar Avram LeAvdo Lo Sikachi Shem Benosa Canaan Yashir Nochi Yoshe Be'Artzo. Remember, in a few parshas, Avram is going to tell his servant, who we identify as Eliezer, even though he's not identified as Eliezer. Okay, but in the Torah over there, the only time he's identified as Eliezer is in this parsha when he says Uven Mesek Beisihu Damesek Eliezer. That's the only time we see Eliezer's name in the Torah. Anyway. So Avram says to him, don't get a girl from my son from the daughters of Canaan. Okay? And why? And there are different explanations given, you know, Ovdei Avodah Zarah, whatever. That's not really a great answer because Rivka's family was Ovdei Avodah Zarah. They're also idolaters. Shtufei Zima, right? Not such a great example. I mean, okay,
bad,
so
bad Midos.
Okay, bad Midos, but fine. I mean, you know, so don't look at the family, look at the girl. The bottom line is that's what he ended up doing. He didn't look at Lavan and Besuel. He said, Rivka, she's good. Okay, so the explanation that I have been most intrigued by was the one that says that they're for the families of Cham. And what we know about Cham is what Noach said in last week's Parsha, which is, Arur Canaan, Ever Avadim Yelechav, right? That Canaan is cursed. Canaan is the son of Cham. So his family is cursed. And so the idea is that Avram is saying, I don't want my kid to marry into a family that is cursed. Okay? So what does he say? Alright, how you harbe mi b'nei shem b'eretz Yisrael? Malki Tzedek ha'yashama. There is a view that Malki Tzedek was shem. And if he wasn't shem, he was a descendant of shem. Right? So there are a bunch of Semites in the land of Canaan. So why is Avram so fixated on not getting somebody from this land? V'lama lo lelech. V'lama lo lelech l'charon. That's a lamed vav. And why should he have to go to Charon? He says, what's the answer? Because Canaan had taken over the place, right? Imagine, Rome takes over place. So now what happens? Everybody's Romans, right? Babel takes over, everybody's Babylonian. So that's what it was in the land of Canaan. And Zulas Avram Shalom Nishtabed Vashem Ayimo. So who's the exception to all that? Avram, the Ivri / Semite, etc., 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 who was not subjugated and subjected to Canaan, and that's why he says, "I don't want any of these people around me, even though they're people direct, even though they're people who are not cursed, but they're under their rulership, whatever that rulership was." Okay, now so the next thing I found this to be fascinating because Pasuk says, "Vayira Hashem el Avram, vayomer lezarcha tein esaretz azos." Hashem appeared to Avram. Now it's right there. It's Pasuk Zayin. Right, next we know next week's parsha is also Vayira Hashem el Avram, right? That's how it begins. So the question that Netziv is going to ask is, hold on a second. Hold on, so Hashem appears to Avram, but look at the beginning of the parsha. Vayomer Hashem el Avram, how come it doesn't say there? How come we don't have two parshas in a row called parshas Vayira? Why is the first one called Lech Lecha?
Is that the first word?
No, it's Vayomer Hashem el Avram, Lech Lecha. No, Vayomer Hashem el Avram is an introduction, but we call it Lech Lecha. So take a look at what he says. Aval b'amir rishon alon Israel lo Hashem. Hashem did not appear to him. He just heard it. Ki yom shama dvaro. He just heard what God said. Mishum shelo ya makom ra'ui l'gilu shechina. Where is Avram when God says to him, Lech Lecha?
Outside of Eretz Yisrael?
Correct. In Charan. Mistama, he's in Charan, right?
Now he's
So that was not a good place for gilu shechina, for the divine presence to be revealed. V'lo la'avoda sakarbanos. And not to do karbanos. It's not a proper place for Avram to do karbanos until he came to Eretz Yisrael. Until Yerushalayim was chosen as the place that God wanted, so any place in Israel could have had a mizbeach. And that's why the pasuk finishes saying that Avram builds a mizbeach to the God who appeared to him. Up until that point, Hashem had not appeared to him. Okay?
That's good. It connects the Mizbeach to the appearance.
Yeah. But it's also Vayera at the beginning and near Mizah, Shinir Elav Shemakom Mukshal Avodas HaMizbeach. And once when God appeared to him, he says, here's a place where I can build a Mizbeach. Who else does that kind of thing?
Yaakov
does that. Okay, and we're going to see something fascinating that the Mitzvah is going to point out in this parsha in a few months. Okay. So the parsha continues and tells us that there's a famine in the land. So Avram and his wife Sarai need to go to down to Egypt, and it's interesting that her name is taken out of the text. We don't see her name. We only see her twice here, and after this, we don't really see her name at all. which is just a point that I'm raising, but we're not going to go into it. It says, Vayomer el Sarai ishto hineinah yadak. So he calls, it's Sarai. Now I know that you're perfect. And the next time we see her name, Sarai, is Aldavar Sarai Eshes Avram, which is not really talking about her, but the Paro is punished because of the Sarai matter, or because of the word of Sarai. Otherwise, she's just referred to as Hoisha or Ishto. Anyway, so that's just an interesting thing to think about. Why is that the case? In any case, so Avram says a strange thing to her on their way down, where he says, "Hinei na yadati ki isha yifas mareot." Again, we've looked at this in the past and with other commentaries that we've had in this class. I don't know. I don't necessarily remember which one specifically said what. So we're not going to look at that one. Hinei na yadati ki isha yifas mareot, which means perhaps. Now I need to deal with the fact that you are a beautiful woman, or because you're beautiful, right? Ki adati ki isha yifas mareot. Yeah, because you are a beautiful woman. That's another way. That's one way that we probably saw 2 years ago, if I'm not mistaken. The Ksava Kabbalah probably said that. Because you're a beautiful woman, I need to deal with this. And when the Egyptians see you, vayaki yiru osach hametzrim v'amru ishto zos, that when they see you and they're going to say she's his wife, v'argios yosach yechayu. So they're going to kill me and they're going to let you live. So what Avram says is, so Imrina Chosia, please do me a favor and say that you're my sister, and this way Lamani Tavli Baburich will be good to me on your account, and I will live in your because of you. So depending on how you read that, and depending on how you translate that, Avram looks a little let's just say not nice. Okay, that's a nice way that I'll say it. I could be even more critical if I wanted to be. But the fact is, Avram seems to be, not, he seems to be more worried about himself than he is about her. Okay, meaning, what's going to happen? So, you're going to say she's my sister. So, what do you think? What's the whole reason why you want to pull off this charade? Because you don't want the Egyptians to take her, right? Because if she's your wife, dead Avram, now she's nobody's wife, no problem. But they're going to take her, okay? Right, they're going to take her anyway. So what Avram is saying is, I'm not going to be a man. I'm not going to be a sniveling coward. I don't want to ascribe motivation. But the point is that there are terrible ways to read this. Okay, that Avram is thinking only about himself.
He's self-serving. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So look at what he says. He's saying, "Osach yechayu." They're going to let you live. And guess what that is. He says, "Utsara la kamosha osi yamisu." That's going to be just as painful if you live and they kill me. Guess what? So guess it's like some people say this. When it comes to, I'm reading a book about World War II. It's just crazy stuff. But some people say this about somebody who gets killed versus somebody who gets terribly injured. Right, it's for the person who gets killed. It's over. It's done. So, there isn't suffering. They don't feel the pain. They don't see what's going on. Da, 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 da. It's over. So I'm not saying that everybody else is in pain. Then of course it's a tragedy that the person's life is over. But it's over. So however you want to look at that. But what I'm saying is, if they kill me, Barur Shetov Hayolasara. I'm not sure what that vav is, but Hamav Samechayim. It would be better for Sarah to be dead than to live. If they're going to kill him, why? They're not going to kill you for your sake. They're going to do what they can to keep you alive. But why are they keeping you alive?
To use you.
Okay, and that would be terrible. So he says, "Babu Reich." So what was the line? No, "Chayisan Avshi Biglalech." What does it say? It'll be good to me on your account. Once they're good to me, then guess what? Meaning, you don't have a chance. They're going to take you. It's like Jerry was saying. But if they're good to me, then right? Then when I have the opportunity, I'm going to do whatever I can. Like Billy Crystal says, have fun storming the castle, right? That's what he's going to do, in order to get her out. If I'm dead, who can help you if I'm dead? Nobody. Nobody cares. Nobody knows you. The only one. So in other words, Avram is not self-serving. The hefech, what Avram is trying to do is he's trying to He's trying to do what he can to save her. Ah, so you might argue maybe it would be better if he wouldn't even bring her down in the first place. It's a good question. That opens up the door to a fascinating question as to how long were they actually in Egypt?
Yeah.
How long were they in Egypt? And the Netziv does touch on that a little bit when he talks about Lot. I'll draw your attention to this for a second. Let's see. You have to go back a little bit. If you go back to the beginning of the parsha, pasuk Dalet. Okay, Vayelech Avram kasher diber elav Hashem Vayelech ito Lot. So when Avram goes to Canaan, Lot goes ito. What does ito mean?
With him.
With him, right? Okay.
So
yes, it does. It does say that. Okay. Then, first of all, it doesn't mention Lot at all when it comes down to Egypt. But take a look at the last pasuk in Perek Yud Beis and the first pasuk in Perek Yud Gimel, page 58, the end of that chapter and beginning of the chapter. So when after Paro kicks them out, they send them and v'yasishtova yishalchu, so v'yasishtova's kol asher lo. So they sent him out with his wife and everything that he has. Vayal Avram and Mitzrayim, hu v'yishtova kol asher lo v'lot imo hanegba. So two things. Ooh, Lot, where did he come from? And secondly, how is Lot described as being with Avram? Imo. What's the difference between ito and imo? Good question, right?
Yeah.
Okay, technically, if you're translating them in English, you'd say both of them mean with him. That's how you would translate it, right?
Okay.
If you're translating it. Okay, so you're correct. But if you're translating it, how do you convey that? The answer is, you can't.
Ito versus imo.
Yeah, ito versus imo. All right, so we'll get to that. Okay, we're going to skip the one on Yudalit. I think I gave you. Okay, take a look at Tazayin. Well, Avram etiv Babura. They were good to Avram. The Tovasa. Hainu lechvadash. Inkvod leishes melech sheyeh achia hedyot v'ani. So they were good to Avraham for her sake because she's now going to be the wife of the king. It would not be appropriate that he be a schlepper and a schlump. So they have to be very nice to him. He says they made him into somebody, you know, an important fella in the country. Right? Who do they do this to next in Egypt? To Yosef, right?
Yeah.
And that's what it says. They had all this kind of stuff. So how long was he in Egypt for? Okay, the Netziv doesn't really chime in there, but he indicates that it was probably longer than we think. Because we look at this and we say, oh, they were there for one night. Right?
That's what it seems like.
Right. Okay. He's appointed this big time officer. He's going to get stuff. And basically, he says that Avram had an opportunity to present himself and to demonstrate that he's a smart guy and he comes from. And he has wonderful experiences, and people wanted to give him gifts. So he not only that, but he needed to appoint Lot as a helper of some kind. And Lot gets a tremendous amount of experience and wealth, and grows in this way. So much so, you know, what did the Chazal say when the Malachim leave from Avram next week's parsha, and they go to Sodom? So who greets them?
Lot.
Why? What does Rashi say? What does Rashi say? Minu oto sar lehem, right? He was appointed. Why would he be appointed? Because he has
experience.
Because he has experience. He's got a pretty good resume. Where did he get the resume from? From one night in Egypt?
No.
So the Netziv is saying, no, he was a diplomat. He was an important fella as well.
Interesting. Wow.
Okay. All right, now the next one, again, I just found that to be an intriguing way of looking at this. The next one I wanted to show you is Pasuk Yud Zayin. I'm going to jump around a little bit because I didn't want to, I mentioned the part about Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. I think that this was here, right? Yeah, I think so. I think this is it. Yes, okay, yeah, this is the one. So Pasuk Yud Zayin, it's a long one. So I'm going to jump around a little bit and just show you the points which I found to be the fascinating ones. So the point that he says here is that you know, if you look at the pasuk says the following: Hashem is Paro, Negaim Gdolim Yes Beisal, Devar Sarai, Eishes Avram. He did what Hashem punished Paro because of the matter of, or the words of, some different commentaries say that Sarah told the Malach to hit, so the Malach hit Paro, and that's the strike. But the Netziv says, Eishes Avram, calling her the wife of Avram, that is miyutar, it's extra. And it's, you know, being who she was, that wasn't enough of a merit for her to become to make this this miracle happen. So he says, look at what the Netziv says at the end of the first line. Achenu malacha klal tavinoso b'chol parshas abos b'sefer yosha shel Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. You need to understand an important rule when it comes to the parshas that describe the story of Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. What is it trying to tell us? Okay, we're familiar with those. What are those things? I don't remember who it is, but it's the Mishnah Avos. The world stands on three pillars: Torah, Avoda, and Gemilas Chasadim. Okay. So now again, I'm skipping around. I just want to show you what these things are. So on the fourth line, Torah is called a sword. Nikrei Scherif. Skip to the next line. I'm on the fifth line now. Middle of the line. Torah balios klei melchama l'nosav. The Torah is a weapon for those who will indeed carry it. Next line, you have milchemes tenufa, milchemes yetzahara, or milchemes cholaim u'musarim. Okay, so there's different kinds of battles that we need to fight, and the answer, the solution to all of them is the Torah. Go to the end of the next line. Mishum shatorah mishmeres mikol ra. I'm on the next line now, which begins with the two words, Mikol Ra. So in case you lost me, eight lines down, Mikol Ra. The Torah is supposed to be a guard from all bad. Now what does that mean? Does it mean the person who has Torah is never going to get sick? I don't think that's what it means. But I don't think that we can ever say that that's what it means, because obviously there are people who are Kulam Torah, and in some way or another, they can become sick. But there are different definitions of Ra, of bad. And there are different ways to understand all these things, which I'm not going to get into now. But again, I just wanted to give you a flavor of what he's talking about. So the first thing is Torah. The Hashgacha Pratis that comes from being connected to Torah in a significant way. The next one is, after Mikol Ra, Avoda. What does Avoda mean? Avoda means service of God, which can be defined in different ways. So nowadays we typically define it as Tefillah, but Avoda also refers to service and karbonos. So what does avoda do? Mevia parnasa liolam. Skip to the end of that line. It meaning it brings. How do you define parnasa?
Sustenance.
Everybody knows what parnasa is. Okay, right? Sustenance. Okay, sustenance or whatever. You know, it's the ability to survive. And at the end of the line, you have gemach notzer shalom. That gimlas chasadim is a source of peace. So he says that God. This is the way that God operates the world. And the next line he talks about that sometimes God operates with nature, and simas ayin, he puts an eye on things, okay. And he defines the ways of God. You'll see malchus, you'll see tiferes. Skip to the line that begins with mishlosha dvarim shel Torah avoda ugmach. Okay, that's what I wanted to get to. And he says that each of these is representative of one of the avos. Go down two more lines. The line that begins with the words "Bishlosha Amudei Hashgacha Elu." Where are we on the page? Bishlosha Amudei Hashgacha Elu.
No.
Oh, it's
in the middle of the page.
Smack
in the middle of the paragraph that you have. Okay. Mikol makom kolacha mehen itzdayin ba'amud echad. That each of the avos was particularly exemplary in one of these amudim. Mm-hmm. Okay. Abraham, but Torah. Okay, that's right there. Listen, you'll see.
Sorry.
You'll see. Okay? But what did he say that the Torah is? Torah is correct.
It's a sword.
Okay? It is a klei milchama l'nosav. It's a weapon for those who carry. So he says, what's Avraham? Vayishmor mishmarti. Avraham is the most observant, right? Vayishmor mitzvot. Ekev asher shema Avraham bikoli. Vayishmor mishmarti. Mitzvosai chukosai v'savosai. Avraham is the one who keeps my mitzvahs. That's the end of the next line. In other words, immediately under where it says Avram Torah. And he goes on to give one of the interpretations as to hold how old Avram was. When he recognized God, he mentions that Avram was 52. Go down a few more lines. We're going to go to the line that now, the last word on the line is Hakadosh. Okay? You see that? The last word on the line? God saves him in war. There's a huge battle in this parsha. Right? The four kings and the five kings, and Avram goes ahead and fights the four kings, not single-handedly, but with a very small band of people. The Torah describes there being 318 men with Abraham, and whether that's the literal interpretation or if Eliezer is, you know, equals, which is Gematria 318, so it's just Abraham and Eliezer, which makes it even more miraculous, but I like the pshat of 318, but still a tiny force in comparison to the four kings. Hatzilo Kadosh Baruch Hu, God saved him in war. Go to the end of that line. Yitzchak Hitztayein Ba'avoda. Yitzchak's specialty is Avoda. And what's Avoda? Okay, correct. Skip until the middle of that line, the next line, where it says, Obyalku Parsha Shlach, Isa Yitzchak Tafas as Hatfila. Right? Yitzchak's job is Tfila. Next line, Tamid Bavoda Satfila, Shibim Mokam Karbanos. Why does he have to do Tfila? Because where is there a Mizbeach? Wherever you build one, there isn't a full time Mizbeach. So what can you do? You can focus on Tfila. And what else is Yitzchak good for? Remember what we said, what the second thing was? What do we say? Avoda is Parnasa Leolam. Parnasa. And what do we know about Yitzchak?
He planted in 100...
Right, Mei Sharim, right? He started a Haredi community. All right, next. Okay, there's a period almost in the middle of the line, and you see Yaakov Itztayin B'Gemach. Okay, so we said before that the third item was Gemilus Chasadim, right? The acts of kindness, and Yaakov was good with that. Lamala Miteva Adam, higher than human nature. Right, the way that he watched over Lavan's sheep, and Hashem watched over him, therefore, in how he was able to do what he did with the sheep, manifold.
Okay. Anybody he came in contact with.
Yeah. Okay. So now 1, 2, 3, 4, 7 lines in the bottom. First word is Avram Avinu. Kara Laharabais Makom Hashgachaso Yisbarach Har. Okay. So now the way that each of these Avos related to the place where they had, I guess, the most intense form of tefillah that we might imagine, Avraham's took place. I'm sorry, each of them is considered to have been at Har Habayis at this point, okay, where they were involved in that. So I'm not really sure how that works with reference to Yitzchak, because we don't assume that Yitzchak was at the Har Habayis when Rivka saw him, but we do have, there is a tradition that when it says Vayetar Yitzchak Lashem Lenochach Ishto, that where did they go to Davin? That they went to Har Habayis. Okay, that was a Makom Tefila, a place for Tefila. So what did Avram call, what was Avram's place called? Behar Hashem Yireh. Yitzchak Ra'o Sadeh. When Yitzchak Davins, it's Sadeh. And Yaakov Ra'o Bayis, right? Beis El. Ein Zeh Ki in Beis Elokim V'zeh Shar Shemayim. Right? Yaakov calls it a house. Avram saw through his form of tefillah God's watching over in war. Right? So a mountain is, you know, is like a symbol, right? A symbol of a victory. Yitzchak Ra Misham Shefa Parnasa. What's a sadeh? That's the source of your sustenance, right? A field. And so that's how Yitzchak's thinking. Bias, Shua Goreim L'Shalom L'Dorim Bo Yachad. Okay, why does Yaakov call his encounter with God a house? Because house is representative of what we often try to say, Shalom Bias. So I found this to be eye-opening, because the Nitziv is throwing a lot of things out there to help us understand a pathway through all of the Book of Bereishis. Because, when we daven, for example, we say, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu V'Elokei Avoseinu. So that should be enough, right? He's a God of our forefathers. But no, what do we say? We say, Elokei Abraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. And what's the classic interpretation for that? That each one had a
special relationship.
Right, a unique and different relationship with God. And the Nitziv is just demonstrating that for us here through using something which we understand and appreciate, the Torah, Avodah, Gemilas, Chasadim, pillars that are mentioned in Avos, that on which the world stands. But he's showing how Abraham strengthened himself in one of those, Yitzchak in one of those, and Yaakov in one of those. And we talk about the Amudim of Bnei Yisrael, right? Who are the pillars of the Bnei Yisrael? Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Okay, without them, we're nothing. So, or we have nothing, for sure. So the Netziv is giving us that. Now, why he's talking about this in the context of Eshes Avram, maybe the point is that it's not miutar, it's not extra, meaning that her merit comes because of his merit. And what's his merit? That his, remember what it says, Torah, which nikres cherev. How are you going to overcome over here? Because Avram is the cherev guy who's going to fight against Tanufa, who's going to fight against Yetzirah, and he's going to fight against Cholaim and Musarim. And what's Tanufa? They're not waving. Right? Isn't Tanufa like... Well, that's Tanufa, but I don't think that's what it's referring to. Right, it's like... Am I crazy? Tinuf? Isn't Tinuf discussing this? It's the seventh, the sixth line.
One, two, three.
Tinufa. I think it's like, isn't it something which is...
Melchemes Tinufa.
No, Melchemes Tinufa. It's not waving. I don't know. It just, isn't that a word that means something? Back on the sixth line of this comment.
One, two, three, four, five. Is it Kumacher of Melchemes Tinufa?
Melchemes Tinufa.
I don't know.
Yeah, Melchemes Yitzhar, Melchemes Cholim.
Yitzhar is internal.
Tinuf, isn't Tinuf like grossness?
Disgusting
things? Right, that's what I think it is.
That's what the test.
It's a test?
Yeah, Tinuf. That's what the test, though.
No.
This means waving, yeah.
So what's a Melchemes Tinufa? I don't know. All right, so I'll take that back. Maybe I don't know what I'm talking about. Okay, we move on. So Paro says, Pasuk Yitzhar, Paro says to him, why did you say, Achosi hi, boy, Kachosa? Right, but Paro's criticism is, why did you say she's your sister? I took her, so I didn't just take her because she's beautiful. I took her because she was your sister, because you're a chashver guy. He says, I took her because she was your sister. I figured, you know, what a great schus to have such a brother-in-law. Right, one of the things that I love about this is that Avram doesn't really say anything. And there are different ways to understand that. After Paro says, why didn't you say she's your wife? Why did you say she's your sister and I took her? Take your wife and get out of here. And what does Avram say? Nothing. Right? So one way, right, you could look at it and say, you know, I really have nothing to say to you because you're a mamzer. That could be what he's thinking. Another thing is, you know, good point. Musar accepted. I lied. What can I tell you? I made assumptions about you guys, and I think I was right. Yes, Avimelech has a, with him. It's a much. That's what the Netziv says. The Avram did not respond to Paro in the way that he did respond to Avimelech. Okay. It seems that, well, see, the truth is we're not told what ended up happening there in the case of Paro. Right? In other words, did Paro actually sleep with Sarai? We don't know. With Avimelech, it seems that there was a punishment, and the Pasuk says, Avimelech lo karavi leha. Avimelech did not come close to her. But it doesn't say that here. It just says, Vayinaga Hashem es Paro nigoim dolim. Aldavar Sarai Eshes Avram.
So what are you saying?
What I'm saying is, I don't know what happened there. Especially if we say, like the Netziv says, that they were there for more than one night.
Right.
How long was Sarai actually there? How long did it take for Paro to realize, maybe I should not have taken this lady into my house? Yeah. Right, how quickly...
Didn't we learn one parish that they got divorced?
Avram and Sarai, yeah.
You mentioned that a few years ago.
That was the Ekzav HaKabal. Yeah, he said that they came in as B'nai Noach, and they were allowed to do that. Yeah, that was an interesting interpretation. But that doesn't... that covers them, just as far as their being able to return to one another, if indeed something happened here. But the point that I'm just raising now is, I don't know what happened with Paro and Sarai. The Torah... Right, the Torah does not really tell us. Okay? Meaning, how long would it take Paro to realize, okay, I have diarrhea, I have dysentery, I have some terrible illness, and it's all because this lady showed up? Right? I mean, the first night, you know, you might say, all right, this is, you know, it's pretty uncomfortable, but maybe I shouldn't eat pizza with anchovies. I don't know. We don't know. That's just the point.
Don't eat pizza with anchovies.
Yes. Yes.
Rashi says that it was a
okay, but fine. But again, how quick? How much time? I don't know. All right, remember the question that I threw at you before about velot imo and velot ito? Did I give you pasuk aleph?
Yeah,
I'm trying to talk. Okay, take a look. Velot imo, hai imo miyutar. Saying that when they came up from Egypt, lot is imo, that's extra. That the way it had been at the time when they left Charan was not like how it is now. Baruch Sheh, Kiven, Rabbi Kasowski to the Netziv. Correct. That im means they were closer now, closer than they had been before. And so that is an indicator there. And in fact, what happens next is something which is particularly painful to Avram. That Avram has to come over to Lot and say, hey, you know, our shepherds are fighting. I don't want there to be a fight between you and me and between our shepherds, because we are our brothers. And Avram is more than magnanimous in the way that he tells Lot what to do. Well, he doesn't tell Lot to do. In other words, when he gives him options. Okay? Take a look at Pasuk Hey. I gave you that, yes? Okay, Pasuk says, okay, v'gam l'lot ha'aleches Avram ha'yot son v'kor ba'olim. So also, to Lot, who goes with Avram, he also had a lot of stuff. Right? Sheep, cattle, and tents. The Netziv says, d'kamo Avram igil ezeh b'shvil chachmaso. Lot also got the stuff because he was a smart guy. So where did this come from? Is this what came from Paro? Well, did Avram get what he got from Paro because of his wisdom? Maybe. I mean, certainly the Netziv was of that mindset. But what about Lot? There was no indication that Lot got anything in Egypt. It was all given to the brother, right? To the brother. So what does he say here? Look at this. T'chol adam bo l'shol lo be'etza o b'tfila o davar chachma k'mo shekasati le'el. He says people came to Lot because Lot, again, Lot's resume was built up somewhere. Kach hayu nidrashim l'lot. Just as people came to Avram, they came to Lot. Asher hu haya emtza'i bein Avram uvein haboim lefanav. He was Avram's, his prime minister, basically. Okay? Uvein haboim lefanav. L'hagid lahem das Avram. He would tell people Avram's opinion. U'b'shvil zeh henikuhu. And so he became big. Right? What's anak? Like a giant. And he also grew, wise. Age and experience did well for Lot. Right, so Lot was with him even closer than before. Up until now, Lot was just a tag along. Avo b'Mitzrayim, he gielo lios b'Torahs Talmid haMekabel. He became really a significant student in terms of his own personal growth. And so, when people came to seek out his etza, the Netziv is suggesting people gave him gifts as a token of appreciation for the way that one does, not bribery. Not bribery, but appreciation. Thank you for your etza. Thank you for your advice, etc.
Yeah, but look what happened. It went to his head, and he ended up having to suffer.
So that's an interesting question. Did it go to his head? Take a look at the next comment of the Netziv in Pasuk Zayin. He says, "Vayhi riv, iram aisa shahay lecherpa v'chil Hashem shaya riv ben haroim." He says, "Remember, Avram comes over to Lot and says, I don't want there to be a fight between your shepherds and my shepherds, right? Between." He says, "Why? Because it's a terrible chil Hashem." It was a desecration of God's name. There's no peace which comes out of fighting. I'm not sure what Hayal. Fahi, rib, bain, roe, like what we have here. Mi garam lot lefrosh min etzadik, habi omer ezo meriva. What caused Lot to separate from the righteous Avram, right? Machlokes. And that's what amdu shnei anashim. Mi garam zel lakos haveyomer zemriva. Right, it's the same answer. What caused two people to get into a fight to hit one another? It was to actually hit somebody. It was an argument. Pershazal the bin hakos harashi igia avur hariv shadiber kashos kolkach ad shezbonenu hashoftim shori lulkos. Right, how does it come to a point that somebody needs to get malkos because it started with machlokas of words? V'kach enyan belot. Says things came out of the mouths of the shepherds, which are just not even worth Not even worth repeating. Okay, take a look at the next comment. You know, the Ibn Ezra has this whole thing about Uz. Like we saw earlier. What does the Uz mean? What does it say about who wrote the Torah, etc.? You know, what does Uz mean? So he says, no, that's not. The Nitziv says, forget about all that. The problem with the Kanani and the Parizi being there is that they see Avram and Lot getting into a fight. Well, it wasn't Avram and Lot, it was the shepherds. It says, Hayachil Hashem Adavar. Shara Yadu Gdula Sekudushas Avram Beisel Hashem Hashem. Everybody knew. Avram is a man of God. Vihine Hema Kanani Raprizi Yoshim Beli Ruv Machlokas. And here you have the Canaanites and the Perizzites. And they're just, you know, it's like the Cherokee and the, I'm going to make up something and I'll get the wrong Indian nation that lives with them in peace. Okay? And they're fine. Uven Avram Lot Yeshiriv, but these two guys who are so closely related, they're fighting. What are you going to come to? You're going to say, oh, you see, oh, they believe in God. Well, look where that gets them. And so Avram says, we can't have this. Okay, whose fault is it?
The shepherds.
It's the shepherd's fault. And the Nitziv, by the way, says that there is that it has nothing to do with their. With there being a lack of land for the animals to graze in, it has nothing to do with that. It was just a. I didn't give you that, but.
But isn't it Avram and Lot's responsibility? They're employees.
The shepherds, you know.
They're the employees. Yeah. The shepherds are their employees.
Yeah, but apparently they weren't able to draw them in. I don't know. Lo yachlu l'shavas yachdav. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, I mean he says that you know the problem was that they were so spread out. Right. I just read this story. I'm sorry. I bring these silly examples, but anybody remember in the Monty Python and the Holy Grail? Is that the one it is? So at one point in time, they're going on horseback with coconuts, you know, through the countryside, and they see some guy. And King Arthur says to the guy, "Bow before your king." And the guy, some English peasant, he says, "You're not my king." And he says, "I'm your king. Bow before me." He says, "No, I'm not going to listen. You know, I'm not going to listen to you." Right? When you spread yourself too far, eventually there's some people who don't even know who you are, and they don't even care. They're not going to listen to you. So if Avram and Lot had so much, so you know, I can watch over my shepherds here and say, "Hey guys, stop fighting. But the shepherds that are 3 miles away, you know, I can't control what's going on over there. But it's getting back to me that they're fighting. That's the concern that the Nitziv says, that they were just spread too thin. There was no way to do it. It's better just to have a separation. Okay. So much. How does the time disappear so quick? Okay. We're going to skip to Pasuk Yudalid. What? Okay, Pasuk Yudalid. So, let's go to the place. Okay. So Avram gives Lot the option, and Lot chooses to go to Sodom. And after Lot goes to Sodom, Pasuk says, Vashem amar l'Avram acharei pari Lot me'imo. After Lot separated from him, right. Sanai necha ureim and amakom asher tasham. Right. Lift up your eyes, see where you are, from where you are, north, south, east, west. We saw these psukim already. I'm going to give you this land, and I'm going to make your family like the dust of the earth. Just as nobody can count the dust of the earth, that's how your children can be counted. So I want you to get up. Go to the length and width, and this is your land. And Avram goes ahead and he sets a tent in Elonei Mamre. And again, he builds him his back. Take a look at what he says here. So first of all, he goes back to the Acharei Pari Lot Me'imo. Rashi, he quotes Rashi, he says, Kol Zman Sherashi Imo Ayah Dibur Parish Menu, which is what Rabbi Kasavsky just mentioned, that as long as Lot was with him, I don't know why he calls him a Rasha. And it, you know, you look at the way the Torah presents Lot. Lot isn't really a Rasha. I mean, he's a little misguided in the way... Well, yeah, going to Sodom, but look at what it says. But the way that Sodom is described is Kigad Hashem Keretz Mitzrayim. Right? In other words, it's a beautiful place.
That's Gashmias, the people.
Fine, and Nechinami, I'm not arguing with you, but we see from Lot's behavior later that he is not influenced by the people of Sodom in terms of his own personal behavior.
But if he leaves Abram,
Inachinami, I'm not saying he's perfect. I'm saying that in terms of his own personal behavior, even what happens with his daughters, you know, they got him drunk. Now you could say again, misguided. He let it happen. You know, why didn't he instruct his daughters differently? I don't know, but why he's calling him a Rasha, I'm just troubled by that word. But anyway. But Avram did not really have God talking to him during that time. That when Lot was with Avram at the beginning, Lot was a kosher. He was kosher, and so God can appear to Avram in the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha when Lot was with him. Right. I have problems with it because there, what's Lot with Avram? He's Ito, which we said is not as close. Right. And here he's emo, and that's closer. And the Netziv has been building up a case that Lot's like, you know, he's really a top Talmud of Avram. He didn't say he's like Yoshua and Moshe, but I would make the argument the way we saw it presented, it's like Yoshua and Moshe. Yeah. Anyway, the Netziv says, "V'lin yiram yishum da'az haya ito hayne merachok ato haya emo k'mosh kasam b'mikrahei." He says so when he was ito, they were a little more distant, but now that they were close, it was too close. He wasn't too close to Avram to have, you know, to bring Avram down a little bit. So it wouldn't have been taken away. What he said to him. So in other words, the emo was good for Lot, but it was bad for Abraham, and the opposite with the Ito. Mm-hmm. Okay, so and that's an, you know, again, it's an interesting perspective, and I think that the Netziv is actually being consistent over there in not falling prey to my question, which was, is an emo closer? And he's saying, yeah, it is closer, and that's actually not good for Abraham. Okay, min hamakom asher ata sham. Just skip to the third to last line. Uveragi pardam zebizah amar Hashem la Abraham sheyelch v'yirem and osu hamakom. Asher ata sham tamid b'torah v'avoda, Rav Shlomo. He says that when God reappears to Abraham after Lot leaves, he says, "Look, you have to strengthen what is your strength, which is Torah and avoda." And in essence, I guess what the Netziv is saying is that Lot was unbeknownst to Abraham, was bringing Abraham down. Take a look at the next pasuk, and I'll give you the short end of the stick here. Is that he says, Ki es kol ha'aretz. Right? Kol ha'aretz asher atara l'chatana. All the land. Look at the Netziv says, Shekol zman shayel Lot b'chevras Avram. As long as Lot was with Avram, when he was shamsho, and he served him, or helped him, assisted him, yes, Avram, it's Yisrael Mechard, hayin notel Lot chelek b'aretz mamish. Lot was going to be getting a portion of land. Yimkein lo ya'efeshar lomar. Ki es kol ha'aretz asher atara l'chatana. He couldn't give all of it to Avram, because Lot was going to get some. Avalata, acharei pardomi menu, vayeshev Lot, b'kzei Eretz Yisrael. Now that, who chose to go to where Lot went to go? Who chose that one?
Lot chose.
Lot. So Lot basically opted out. And if Lot opts out, then guess what? Nigzar, she Lot, samuch l'gvul Eretz Yisrael. That's the end for Lot. Lot, you're going to be on the border. You're out. V'lo Eretz Yisrael mamish. Mishamachi nemalo ata nevuazo. And that's why Avram is given this prophecy now. The low kodem shahaya Lot nifrad b'men l'gamrei, and not before Lot had left him completely.
Wow.
Okay. All right. All right. So now we're going to go to Perek Yudalet. We're going to get a couple things in this battle here, or at least in the Perek about the battle. Oh, yeah. So much. Okay. Pasuk Yudbeis. Let's see here. So the first time Sukkim of this chapter just describes something which has been going on for some time, depending on how you read it. Perek Yudalet. So it's the bottom of 60, page 62. The first time Sukkim described this battle between, or this, like, you know, many years' war between, and I don't think I'll ever be convinced about how long this stuff, I don't know. Because what's confusing is Pasuk Dalet says 12 shana avdu es kedar la omer u 13 shana maradu. 12 years they served kedar la omer, And 13 years they rebelled. Uve arba esrei shana. Right, so is that 25? Because it doesn't say uvish losh esrei shana, that in the 13th year.
No, it's after.
Right, so was it 12 years and 13 years? And then it says uve arba esrei shana, and in the 14th year? So is that in the 14th year after the 13, or is it 12 and 13, 14?
13, 14.
Okay, see, that's my point. You see, it's confusing. Okay? The other thing which is unclear to me is, how old is Lot? Lot is the son of Abram's brother, Haran. And Haran obviously had children, because who were old enough to be married, because Nahor married Haran's daughter, Milcah. And Naharan had another daughter named Yiska, that some say was Sarai, just with a different name. So Haran had three kids before Avram was married, okay? Which means that Haran was older. And so how old is Lot? I have no idea. Okay, by the time that Lot is in the mountaintop or in the cave with his daughters, we know Lot had grandchildren, because that was the that was a concern that, or excuse me, he at least had sons-in-law. Okay, we'll leave it at that, even if he didn't have grandchildren. But some of the commentaries say the reason why Lot's wife turned around is because she wanted to see if her grandchildren were following her. Okay, that was why she turned around. But in any case, he definitely had sons-in-law, mm-hmm. and daughters who were old enough to do what they did. So how old was Lot in comparison to Avram? It's just, you know, just these are some of the things that bother me. I don't have an answer. Anyway, so the pasuk here says that when they got into this fight, in the 14th year, etc., so they conquered Sodom. So the pasuk says that they took the previous pasuk, Yiralf, said that they took all the rechush, all the property of Sodom and Amorah, and all their food, and they also took Lot and his property. And what was Lot doing at the time? Yoshev Bisdom. What does Yoshev Bisdom mean? Was Lot a soldier?
He's a judge.
Was Lot a fighter? I don't know. He may have been, but maybe at the very least.
They appointed him that day. You said
No. That's not here. That's in the next week's parsha. Okay. When the Malachim show up, which is after they visit Avram. So he's Yoshev Bisdom. So at the very least, it means he's a civilian. Okay, he's not fighting. Take a look at the Netziv. Ru Yoshev Sdom. He calls them Yutar. What are you telling me that he's sitting in Sdom? You can't say that he was a POW. He wasn't a prisoner of war. Lochein El Yoshev Az Bisdom. He was a civilian. They took him anyway. They're rounding up the Jews. They didn't go to plunder Sdom. They came because they needed to get one guy.
So?
They needed to get Lot. It's like you're walking into town and you say, give me your Jews. Jew? What's the fight? I thought you're fighting a war. You're fighting a war. Go fight soldiers on the battlefront. When you come in, you're going to get the Jews? Same thing here. Come get Lot. So the palit goes and tells Avram Avri, Lo shalach lo yitzar levaser ro b'li toelas, el b'shim shahaya Avri. Why is he coming to tell Avram? Not to tell him the pain of all and what happened with Lot, but because he's Avri. The reason the palit, the netziv, is saying, I haven't seen this elsewhere, but the reason why he's going to Avram is because he knows that Avram is a miracle man. Okay, maybe you can make something happen. Behem Baalei Bris Avram, he's living in Eilonei Mamre, right? They are Baalei Bris Avram. They're part of the covenant with Avram. What does that mean? Emunas Avram. They're following Avram's faith. Bris hu kinoi al emuna. The covenant is a euphemism for faith. Shekol ma'amin ve'obed es Eloah, areze krisus bris imo. Who, if you serve the same God, then you've made a covenant. Sheyehei hu ovdo ve'elo yashkiach alav. You're going to serve him, and that person's God will watch over you. Skip the next line. Shemachim, are you arguing as Avram? Are you hema b'chlal? Al ken yitzu gam hema l'milchama v'gam hema b'tchuba shem ma'afli asos. So he says, yeah, those when because they are the Baalei Bris Avram, guess what? They had to also help with the battle. Now, we don't see Aner, Eshkol, and Mamre specifically being tied into the battle, but in the Pasuk, right after mentioning them, that they are part of the covenant with Avram, right, it's like that, you remember in 1967, that Levi Eshkol sends a message to King Hussein in Jordan saying, we have no fight with you, don't fight with us, and we'll leave you alone. Israel didn't need a third front. They were already fighting Egypt and Syria. So, but King Hussein had signed over his army to Nasser. So Nasser said, fight. So Jordan fought and
lost.
And lost, exactly. And but that's, you know, that's what it, it's the same thing over here. It's don't, you know, don't get involved if you're not fighting with somebody. But they have a covenant. So in this case, Aner, Eshkol, and Mamre fought with Avram against the four kings that Avram ultimately defeated. Okay, let's see if there was another amazing one because we're basically out of time. I did want to. Okay, I have one. I guess one final one that we'll do. It's a so much to do. I really gave you good stuff. I'll tell you that. Okay, okay. I gave you good stuff, but we'll do one more. And this, should we do this one? All right. You know, we're in that topic, so we'll just finish with this one. I thought this was good stuff.
Which one?
The next one. Pasuk Chav Gimel. Did I give you Chav Gimel? I may have just skipped.
Yeah.
That's the one. Okay. So remember at the very end of this story, and I'm sorry we're not going to get to the other stuff with Sarai and Ishmael, amazing stuff, and even the wristband. I'm sorry, I didn't give you much on Mila, but whatever. Okay, which is chapter 17. Okay, so we're just going to look at this. So the Torah gives us here in telling us the end of the story says Pasuk Yud Zayin that the king of Sodom comes out to Avram after Avram came back from striking Kedorlah Omer, and then it mentions that Melchizedek, who is king of Shalem, comes out with bread and wine, and we have the Melchizedek Avram encounter, which they each give a blessing to one another. Melchizedek first says, Melchizedek is a Kohen to El Elyon, and he gives Avram a blessing, Baruch Avram le'El Elyon, Uvaruch El Elyon, Asher Yigain Tzarech V'Yadach. Okay, so that's important to know, simply because guess what happens in right afterwards? The king of Sodom says to Avram, Tein li anefesh v'rechush kach lach, give me the people and you can keep the property. And Avram says to the king of Sodom, Harimosi Adil Hashem El Elyon Kone Shemayim V'Aretz. So the Netziv makes the point that where did Avram get that language from? I raise my hand to God El Elyon Kone Shemayim V'Aretz. From Melchizedek. And so Avram was able to use that language because Melchizedek, and that's why he says that the Melchizedek story is injected into the middle of the king of Sodom story, because we saw that the king of Sodom came out first, because it had to show us where Avram got that language from. In any case, then Avram says to him a really important line. He says, "Im michut v'ad sarokh na'al," right? Not even from a string or a shoelace. I do not v'imekach mikol shel. I'm not taking anything from you. V'lo tamar ani yashavti esavam, because I don't want you to be able to say that you made me wealthy. The only thing I'm going to keep is that which my ne'arim, my young lads, in other words, my fighters took. And the portion of the other men who came with me, I'm sorry, they are mentioned, but they weren't mentioned when they went out by name, but they are mentioned here. Avram mentions here that Aner, Eshkol, and Mamre, that they also fought with me, and so they are going to take their portion. Okay, so let's take a look at this section. Yesh lehisbonein, the Netziv says, Yesh lehisbonein al pirtei mishalim alalu. Okay, so we need to try to understand what are we to take away from the exact language which is mentioned here. Chazal and Chulin, the rabbis in Gemara Chulin, Daf Peites, they said Shazach Avram Avinu Avurzel Loshen Chut Shel Tchelus Ritzua Shel Tefillin, but because he mentioned the string and the strap, Avram was given these two mitzvos of tzitzis, the blue string in the tzitzis and the straps of tefillin. So why is that the case? So he said, not a shoelace, not a strap. What does that mean? And if you want to say that, you know, Avram is saying that, meaning if you want to say that it's a merit for what he did, So say that the reason he's given these mitzvos is because of what he said at the time of Imakach Mikol Shalach. He says there's a problem with things which are stolen, which are eaten, because even the most righteous people, you can't return them. What did Avram say? That the only thing I'm going to take is that which the Ne'arim already took. And what did they already take?
Food.
Rak asher achlu ne'arim, that which they ate.
Okay.
And what does that mean? That if they took food, they stole it. Hareishin nigra gezel. Now, I mean, you're in the throngs of battle. I mean, you know, it's all everything goes in war, right? What are you going to do? You're starving. We know this from other cases in Tanakh. When people fought, they fasted, and that was so they needed to eat something. And the battle was over. That there somebody who is God fearing is not supposed to take from others. He says no, and that's exactly why the reason why Avram is given merit, not because of the fact that they took what they took, but what he's saying, I don't want to take. Because what we see here is a tremendous piety. When we translate Achoslanu Ketana, that's in Shir Hashirim, right? We have a little sister. He says, that's Avram Avinu. What do you mean Achoslanu? Because there's another way to understand, to translate the word Achos. We translate it as sister. But there are other, if you look at the actual letters, you'll see there's another root there. She'icha is kol ba'olam. What's Icha is kol ba'olam? No, that's Icher. Icha means to join together. To join together. Okay, what did he do? Bar Kapara Omer Kazesh Umachas Sakra, that he would combine that which was what's kara?
Ripped.
Torn, ripped, right? Right, that the Shechina was in the lower spheres. But when Adam sinned, it went away. Says you have to look at that passage in greater length. But what Avram Avinu did was he basically started to become the tikkun to that which Adam messed up. Nimtza, tachlis shleimus habriya haya sheyu mechubarim shmayim baaretz beashgacha al pi amasim, that heaven and earth were supposed to be connected. That's what creation was all about. And how would it be connected? Through the deeds that were taking place. El shenikra al pi achet. In other words, what people were supposed to be doing were things that would bring Shemayim and Aretz close to each other. But because of the sins of man, they were separated. Uba Avram Avinu v'tafar sakara umela icha b'zez kol olam. And what Avram did was he sewed together that tear and he united the world together. Disi b'vamas, daf samach gimel, afil komish b'chaz, emes barchos, el b'shvil Yisrael. Right? And we have a lot of themes like this in the Talmud and in the Midrash that families, nations are not blessed except in the merit of Israel. Gracious Rabba, Afil Svina, some of Farshus, the Amagadal, such a name, Ashagia, Ma Palas, Amalachim, Ade Avravino, Ade Shne Devarim. He says that the kings fell in Avram's hands because of two things. Echad Ayudei, Robet Sidkosab, Shizachal Yos Maches Akara. Because of Avram's tremendous righteousness, he merited to join together that which was torn. B'sheinis ayidei sheheir tzedek v'radaf achrihen debeloza lo neheragu. That what Avram focused on was... But what does he say? Sheheir tzedek v'radaf achrihen. Because of Avram's righteousness, he chased after them. Does it say that he wiped them out? Did he kill them all?
No.
Did he do a massacre at the end?
No.
Okay. So, I mean, I'm not sure. Lo zeh lo ne'erog means without that they wouldn't have been killed. But that doesn't sound like a great merit to Avram, or unless it's saying that without that he wouldn't have been successful in the battle. Mm-hmm. I don't know. So I'm not really sure where he's going with that, but well, I want to finish the point. Avram was saying, for these two things, I don't want any physical reward here. I just want Excuse me, whatever God's going to give me. Lo ala chud shetafar asakara. I don't want for the string which is used to sew together that which is torn. Lo al sroch nal shor davach riyan. And not on the strap which is used to chase after them. Barak mi abba hinani oved. He says, I serve God out of love. Right, Yeshaya calls Avram Ohavi. He's the only Avram's the only one who's referred to in all of Tanakh as God's beloved. Avram loved God. Why? Because that's it. Not because of whatever God does for him. Not because of whatever God gives for him.
No reason.
Because exactly. Yeah. He says, I don't ask for anything from God. You think I want anything from you? I'm not going to get anything from you. And look at the next one also, and we'll finish with this. He says, I don't want you to be able to say that you may be wealthy. Right? And because you're going to ask the obvious question. Avram left Egypt with a lot of wealth, right? And where did he get that wealth? So, I mean, it doesn't say that Paro, what does it say? I don't believe it says that Paro gave him. If I'm not mistaken.
Other people give him?
Right. Avram Hetiv Ba'avura. Okay? But we saw, was it last year? Was it the Archaim who says, Vayhi lo tzon of a car? Right? Vayhi lo means that Avram had. It doesn't say Vayhi tenulo. Okay, that Avram had tzon of a car. Okay, but that's okay. No, the Netziv is saying, you may ask this question. So the Netziv argued earlier that Avram was given these gifts because he was a chashev guy and people liked him and he was an officer and whatever. But it's not so much that Paro did it, as opposed to, and look at what it says when they kick him out. I mean, you don't have to look. Paro says, here's your wife, get out of here, right? Sava loved Paro and Hashim. Paro instructed men, vayishalchu oso, vayishalchu es kol shalo. And they sent him out with his wife and everything that he had. Okay, and that does not indicate, as opposed to in Avimelech's case, where it does spell out more clearly that Avimelech gave him gifts. Okay, but in any case, so the Netziv asks the obvious question. If you're going to say that Avram doesn't take gifts from people, he doesn't even ask for it from God, so he's certainly not taking from people, then how do you explain that the things that he may have gotten in Egypt, and certainly from Avimelech? Okay? Yadash mm-hmm. He knew that they were, smearing him up.
Envious?
Okay, what?
Envious? I'm just not what?
No.
Well, how would you translate that word? Stranger than?
No, Miss Yakir. Yakir means precious. So Yakar means precious. So that they were, doing that thing. That in other words, that he was becoming wealthy on their account. Says when you receive somebody who is an important person. Okay, but saying it brings about gifts. Avamel Stom Yadabo Shehu Ra. Ayin, v'yachshov matanah l'Avraham. He says he knew that he had an evil eye, and that things would become a gift. The difference is kabbalas adam chashuv. Okay, it's coming from a good place, and if it's coming from a good place, that's acceptable. But the king of Sodom was not coming from a good place. He didn't want to create any kind of relationship or a seeming kind of treaty or anything with the king of Sodom. I mean, what's the king of Sodom's name? Do you remember?
Bera.
What's Bera? Bera. He's a schnook. He's a bad guy. So Avram doesn't want to have anything to do with him. And so Avram, and so that's the distinction which the Netziv makes, saying, yeah, you could take from there. And in Egypt, it wasn't coming necessarily from Paro.
Right.
And Avimelech lo karabila, didn't come close to her. So all those were coming from a good place, as opposed to what was coming from here. Okay, there isn't an overall lesson, but the Netziv is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful commentary. And I hope if you have a chance, if you take the papers, you can go through the rest of it.